Rich Kimball, Carrie Haskell, and Bruce Pratt here in the house for this week's edition of Sports Lit 101.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about a book we've been teasing a little bit called Bird at the Buzzer. The book has nothing to do with Larry.
What?
It has nothing to do with professional basketball. The subtitle is UConn, Notre Dame, and a Women's Basketball Classic by Jeff Goldberg, whose book unrivaled about Geno and Pat Summitt and that rivalry we so enjoyed, and he was great when he was on with us. The forward to this one is by Doris Burke. This is an earlier book, and I just happened to see it in a University of Nebraska catalog, and I decided I'd want to take a look at it. It's really fun. I think a lot of people who are not maybe the most serious, dedicated women's college basketball fans, and I really like women's college basketball. I was the liaison to the women's team at Maine for 2 or 3 years, and I follow UConn basketball, and I have since 1974 when the program began. And if you go back through the list of the great UConn players, it's not hard to pick. You know, you pick their top 10. You have 10 of the 30 best ever to play in the WNBA. You know, I mean, the names are staggering. But what people forget is that there was a stretch where UConn had, after their initial successes, they had injury bugs that cost them multiple national championships. They might have at one time gone 5 years in a row without losing if Svetlana Abramsova hadn't gone down, and Shea Ralph, who had three ACLs over the course of 5 years, three ACL injuries and rehabs. UConn probably at times had more talent than just about anybody could amass, but they also played in what I don't even think this is an argument. I wouldn't even entertain an argument with this. That was the original Big East was the greatest college basketball conference ever established. And had it not been for idiots like Donna Shalala and the football people in the ACC, the Big East would be intact today and would still be the greatest basketball conference. But in its heyday, the great thing about the UConn-Notre Dame rivalry was that they were going to play each other at least twice a year, once in South Bend, once in Storrs. UConn won something like the first 19, and it was only when Muffet McGraw really got the reins at Notre Dame, who shares a coaching tree with Geno Auriemma. And they both coached at St. Joseph's in Philly. They you know, cut their teeth in the Palestra and in that great little, you know, the what do they call the Big Five in Philly. And so you have these two coaches, both of whom are Hall of Fame coaches, and they're in this battle in 2001 where UConn goes out to Notre Dame and gets clocked. And it's the first time, and Geno's sort of like, well, I kept trying to tell him this was coming, this day was coming. They play again in Storrs, and UConn beats up on Notre Dame. Then they play for the championship, the 2001 Big East championship. And it will take a shot at the buzzer by Sue Bird to win it. You can know that going in, as I did. I watched the game on television. I remember it well. I remember when Shea Ralph went down early in that game and grabbed her knee, that I thought it was all over. This is, to put in perspective for people, Diana Taurasi's freshman year. She's still throwing bombs from everywhere that aren't connecting. And the rest of the UConn team has to really pull together to win this. In fact, Taurasi will foul out. She will foul out before the game is over, and UConn will still win at the buzzer. And it's a story that if it was just about one basketball game, would be good, but it's better. The first 100 pages set up for everybody who the players are. Notre Dame at the time had arguably the best player in the country in Ruth Riley, who was a dominant post player, but had struggled consistently against UConn. Of course, you've got Abramsova and Ralph and some of the other people that UConn had in those days. Anybody might struggle. But there is this incredible respect. The two teams admit that they hate losing to the other one. But when Ralph went down, there were Notre Dame players visibly upset. and knowing she had come back already from two ACLs, that it was her fifth year that she had a chance to win a national title, that McGraw and Auriemma like to take shots at each other, but they clearly don't dislike each other. You don't come away from the Summit Auriemma thing thinking that maybe that they didn't dislike each other. Clearly, I don't think they did like each other. But what's really great about this book is, you know, normally if you stretch a basketball game out for 185 pages, I'm out. The way that Jeff Goldberg weaves the narrative in and out in a nonlinear way by saying, oh, then, you know, so-and-so hits a three-pointer. Born in Indiana and someone who grew up adoring, and then you get the backstory of these players all the way through, and it's really good. And, you know, you and I were talking off air last week or the week before about how much we admire Auriemma's feelings about, you know, if you don't practice hard, you're not going to play.
Right.
It doesn't make a difference how good you are. The way he challenged his players, you learn these things in this book because Goldberg and Matt Egan from the Hartford Current had access to Geno, and so that was an inside thing. For instance, he said to Taurasi after one season, how many games we lost this year? Three. You know how many games you fouled out in? Three. So you want to clap and say, come on, let's go, or you want to play? And she never fouled out of a game at UConn again in the next 3 years. It talks about the way Sue Bird talks about the way he would challenge her. And they never accuse him of being nasty or brutish, but he'd get in your face and challenge you. And how players wanted to play for him. They wanted to do better for Geno, but how that they really were a team. When one of the media called out Shea Ralph when she was not having a banner year after coming back from these injuries, at a press conference, Tamika Williams grabbed the microphone and said, you don't know what you're talking about. You don't know what Shea does for this team. You don't see her every day. And the reporter, I think it was Jeff Jacobs, I forget who it was because I used to know all these guys when I lived in Connecticut. He was chastised to the point where he couldn't even really respond. And Geno said, and Sue Bird said, and Taurasi said, after that, we knew we were going to have each other's back no matter what happened. And so they don't win the national championship that year without Ralph and Abramsova. But it might be that Notre Dame victory that year in the national championship was not the best game of the season, and it was not between the two best teams by any measure. Swin Cash is teased by and Schumacher and all of Auriemma's guys. I mean, he's teasing them at the height of the most competitive moments of this game when he takes a timeout, because he's just trying to tell him, would you just loosen up and play basketball? Just do what you know how to do. And it's also interesting that Notre Dame needed to learn how to play the triangle offense. And who did Muffet McGraw ask how to do it? Geno Auriemma. Who told her how to do it? Geno Auriemma. So that when I think about, you know, the coach, I've said this for a long time. I've never coached basketball. I was a terrible basketball player. I don't understand the intricacies of basketball. I like to watch college basketball. Never been an NBA fan to speak of, but I like college basketball. When I think of who I would want to have coach my kid, Auriemma is one of them. You know, the way he won't coach AAU, something we were talking about, because he doesn't like the fact they tell kids to just show up for games, don't worry about practice, that he will not recruit a player who is not known to her peers or her coaches or as a worker. He said, I don't care how good you are. If you're not a worker, you can't just be good. From Muffet McGraw, you learn about her just incredible toughness. She was the coach at Lehigh. She had a great job. Her husband said, you got to apply for this Notre Dame gig. She's going, not really. Do I really want to go out there and try and do that? They're not going to hire me. Boom, she gets hired. Now she's been a fixture there forever. And this book was written in, I believe, 2011 for the 10th anniversary of that game. I'm going to make sure I've got it right. Yeah, 2011. So it's 9 years old, and it brought me back to that game like it was yesterday, at Gamble Pavilion, and watching the crowd just go absolutely insane when Bird went up over the top of everybody and just touched that one home.
I always talk when high schoolers, you know, because they're not too nuanced sometimes, and they talk about
I wasn't.
Things like, oh, you know, girls basketball, blah, blah, blah. And I say, fellas, now let me tell you something. Watch some college basketball. Watch a men's game. most men's games, and then watch a women's game, any women's game. Watch the Maine Black Bears. Watch UConn, and what you're going to see is, for the most part, better fundamentals than you will see in any of the men's games.
Yeah, you know, I remember saying this to Coach Barron and Coach Steelman and Coach Vachon one time on as we were waiting for a game at Albany to begin. I said, what I'm watching when I see the pregame here is I see kids, if they miss a shot, they don't go in and take a different shot. They grab the basketball, go back, and try the same shot again. I said, I don't notice that in men's game. Instead, I remember Todd Steelman saying, I'm gonna keep an eye on that. And he was watching. He said, you're right. And it was, we were down at the Albany Inn. That's when they had the really tall girl from Australia, whose name, it's not Wangaroo, I want to say, but it's like, that's where she was from. But she was missing 10-foot, 12-foot jumpers, and she just kept taking them. And then as soon as she made two in a row, then she started doing other things. Guys' games, you got to take the long one they miss. Mm. They go back wherever the ball lands, they take another shot. Yeah, I find that the WNBA fun to watch. They're athletic. They go 100 miles an hour.
But you see things like, you know, help defense, people moving without the ball, people following their shots.
Yeah, well, you know, and that's one of the interesting things. It's funny you mention that, because in this book, one of the reasons UConn succeeded in this game at times when they bricked shots was people followed the shot. And as a result, there were two or three UConn players able to box out a Notre Dame player whichever way the ball was bouncing to get back to UConn. So it's, you know, I wish I had a tape of the game. I'd like to see that game again. Mm. And especially, though it would be like Miracle, I'd be afraid that it would come out wrong. But as a longtime UConn women's basketball, well, UConn basketball fan, this was good. But I think anybody would like this. And I think that Jackie McMullen's comments on it and Doris Burke's comments in the introduction really, really, really make the point that it was a special game, and that was a special group of kids, as the coaches would say, and a really, really fine book. And just the cover, seeing Sue Bird's arms up, and the referee signaling the shot good, was just special.
Excellent. And coming up here in the next several weeks, we've got some authors joining us on
the segment. Next week, we'll talk to Charles Chuck Kastner about Race Across America, which was such a compelling and riveting book. The week after that, we'll talk with Pat Malgaris. I made sure I knew how to pronounce his name, who wrote the book on Coach Joe Vigil, one of the legendary distance coaches in America. On the 28th of October, Dick Crapo will be back with us to talk about his expanded NFL football book. And I just learned that we'll have Ken Lezebnik, who wrote Buzzy and the Bull, which we talked about.
Nice.
About Buzzy Bavese and the Bull. As we both noted, someone we got a lot of baseball cards of. We may have another one in October too. Not sure about that yet, so we're working on it. Hopefully get Cecil Harris, who wrote the book Different Strokes, that we talked about with about black tennis players, especially Serena and Venus Williams.
Excellent. Thanks, Bruce.
Thank you, sir.